This is the Florida Spectacular Podcast with your hosts, Kathy Silustri and Rick Kilby. Keep up with Kathy at greatfloridaroadtrip.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Silustri. Find Rick on Twitter at OldFLA and visit his website, rickkilby.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the latest episode of Florida Spectacular. How the hell are you, Rick?
I had a quick trip down to the Sarasota area yesterday, and I'm still recovering.
What? It's beautiful down there. I went to Punta Gorda last week.
It was a lot of time on I-4 and I-75. Let's just say that.
Ooh, well, that's your first mistake.
And a lot of hurricane devastation still abundant. They're cleaning up, but I drove down Kasekee, and it was kind of like going through snow drifts, except for made out of sand. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it's the rest of the world has moved on, but the Gulf Coast of Florida is still very, very devastated. In fact, I was at a city hall meeting last night because we just have this very weird situation in Gulfport where unprecedented times, that's all I'll say. And I wanted to see how it was going to shake out. And a lot of the people there were just furious about why aren't things getting better faster? And, you know, we're hearing this story from every city our paper reports on at the Gabber. I mean, it's just everybody is upset. Everybody wants things faster. Everybody wants things better. Everybody is living in their own private hell. And I, you know, it's starting to show, you can see it on public officials' faces. Some of the people in our local government look like they've aged 20 years in the past 2 months. It's just something I think the rest of the world has certainly moved on from, but there's a very real tragedy playing out on the Gulf Coast for a lot of people.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's me too. I'm, you know, you have this people like, would you come out okay? And I almost feel bad going, yeah. We're fine. We're actually getting a discount on the new fence because of the hurricanes. And then you feel like a jerk. But anyway, that's where we are. But yes, you're right. There's still a lot of devastation along those coasts. But bright spot, there is a new TV show that I was on the first episode for. I don't even know how these people found me. But I watched the first episode. It's on YouTube. It's called Crazy Florida. And we did an episode about the skunk ape, and I think you know I love to talk about the skunk ape, the Barden Booger, the two-egg stump jumper. This is one of my things. And I was really curious to see how it was going to play out because I knew they were interviewing Dave Sheely, who is the head of the skunk ape research headquarters down on the Tamiami Trail. And I've seen Dave Sheely be interviewed for The Daily Show, and they made him look like an idiot, which he is not. And so I wanted to see how these guys did with it. And I really was impressed with the episode. And I'm so pleased we're going to have the creators of it, Chris Beecham and Rich Robinson. They're going to come on the podcast today. In fact, they're here. I can see them. I know they're here. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on next with the show and why they wanted to create it. So hi, all. Welcome.
Hello. Great to be here.
Thanks a lot, Kathy. And we're glad you got a cheaper fence. That is a positive day.
You got to take the wins where you can get them.
So, that's right.
But yeah, so Crazy Florida isn't quite poking fun at Florida like the title might lead some people to believe. I mean, I didn't get the sense you were making fun of people who were on this quest for the skunk ape. It was very respectful, and I'm not sure that a lot of people have done that before. So thank you.
Well, absolutely. Well, we appreciate it. And thank you for being on it. We're very sneaky, and we found you through our sneaky means. And thank you for taking part in the first episode. And we had a lot of fun with it. We did release it on YouTube. We had to do that because of something else that happened that we can talk about in a few minutes with HBO releasing another Florida related show. And we had to beat them to the punch. Our show will be airing on regular Cox Cable and a few other channels in December, but we needed to get it published before that. So yeah, it's on YouTube, and we encourage people to check it out and share it with as many folks as they can.
How many episodes do you have out now?
Well, this is the first one, and we'll be producing more, and we intend to make 10 of them. And so, you know, the Skunk Ape was our favorite. I think for us, it was definitely probably the most quintessential Florida story that could be told. And so we wanted to do that. And like you said, Kathy, Dave Shealy is kind of the guy. I mean, he's sort of there's so many different threads and entry points that you can use Dave Shealy or interact with Dave Shealy. And, you know, he is outlandish. He is a silly man. He is a great storyteller. That is all true. He's talking about the size and girth of Skunk Ape's private parts. I mean, you know, you can only do so much with that, Kathy. And but at the same time, he is also an entrepreneur. He's a person who, you know, has brought people to pull off the side of the road in the middle of nowhere in Ochoapi, Florida. And he, I think, says something about all of us in this state.
You know, I want to not spend too much time on the penis of the Skunk Ape.
Well, then we're gonna go then, Kathy, because that's what that's what we came prepared to talk about.
I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I do want to ask, how does he have that information?
Great. I guess when he was running in the wind, you know, it's so big you couldn't miss it. You know, I mean, I don't see it on the camera footage from 2000, but I'm sure it was there. You know, with better technology, a better camera, maybe you could have picked that up.
That's possible. I just want to know if there's a position in the Kama Sutra, like, you know, reverse Skunk Ape or something like that. no, but Dave is. People talk about him like he's just quite the character, and he is. But if you talk to a lot of people who live full time in the Everglades, I don't think he's that unusual. Very honestly, I mean, Lucky Cole. Are you familiar with Lucky Cole?
I've heard stories, but I have not interacted with him. No.
Well, if you go into the bathrooms at Joni's Blue Crab, right by the Skunk Ape Research Center, his photography is in there, and in the ladies' room, he has pictures he's taken of, I would describe them as boudoir pictures, except they're kind of set in the swamp with men of all shapes, sizes, and ages. And then you get the same thing in the men's room with ladies. So naked lady, cowboy boots posing around a cypress tree. It's fascinating. And Lucky's a fascinating guy too. My point is I've never met anybody who lives full time in the Everglades who isn't just a little different than the rest of us, and maybe not in a bad way. I mean, I like Dave. I mean, he definitely has a little bit of Florida boosterism in him, a little Florida roadside attraction, but I don't know. I think he's a fascinating guy, and I'm glad you portrayed him the way you did. But thank you for enlightening me about the phallic imagery of the Skunk Ape.
That's what we're here for, Kathy, and we look forward to telling more of those stories as long as we can.
That's the entire second episode.
Well, I hope it goes long.
You might want to consider a name change. Yeah, so really, what do you have planned? What are the other 9 episodes going to be like, you know?
Well, I'll answer that question by telling you a little bit about the state of the industry, which we have kind of been at the forefront of here during this past year. So we created this pilot episode during a really rough time in TV. You know, this is coming out of the writer's strike and actor's strike, which, you know, for us, Chris and I, we run a production company. We do a lot of other things, which is what most of our business is. But we said, you know, we made a really silly decision. So, you know, we should go out and make our own original shows. And so we did it at probably the worst possible time in recent years. But we learned a lot. And one thing that we were told was, you know, there is just no market for a Florida television show. there's just no way that anybody's going to watch a serialized show about silly things that happen in the state of Florida. That's not accurate because we have found that audience. And then obviously there's also a show on HBO that just aired a couple weeks ago called It's It's Florida, comma, man, which is very interesting because it's got a lot of similarities to our show, but we won't talk about that right now. That one obviously is more outlandish. It wasn't shot in the state of Florida. It was shot in North Carolina with celebrity actors. But we have no problem with the show at all. I mean, there's no issue at all. It's definitely a Florida-based show for sure. Point is that it's a very interesting time in the industry. So, you know, we're going to tell a lot of stories about paranormal life. We are working on an episode about Villa Paula, which is a haunted house in Miami that's very interesting and has this kind of Cuban connection, and a little bit about politics. Chris, I know that you have a favorite story about down in the Florida Keys of the Conch Republic and the Conch Revolution that took place in the 1980s with the roadblock. So we don't want to only be paranormal. We do want to go into politics sometimes, you know, Two Live Crew, and how that they, you know, created all this constitutional law across the United States, this ridiculous hip hop group that talking about private parts. That's all they sang about. And, you know, Clarence Thomas having to read into the record, you know, Two Live Crew lyrics is pretty funny. So, you know, those are the type of stories that we're attracted to.
And in full transparency, you know, Rich is the Florida guy, and I'm actually from Louisiana. So I'm not from Florida. We have our own weird stories here. We have our own Bigfoot. I think it's called the Rougarou or something. It lives in the swamps. It's not as cool as the Skunk Ape. But I think
French. What, he's a French. He's French. Yeah.
French Bigfoot.
Francophone.
He likes to cook crawdads and things like that.
It's everything, cheese sauce everywhere. That's what it is. What part of Louisiana are you from, Chris?
So right outside New Orleans.
So on the east or west side of the Mississippi?
On the east side of the Mississippi. So
historically, you would have been a Floridian. Right? Our border used to go to the Mississippi River. So you are a...
I knew I liked you, Kathy. You're a Florida nationalist. Look at you in expansionist. We will retake them.
Everywhere is Florida. So the point being that, you know, Rich has all these stories that I've of course never heard about, and so he has an insider point of view. I'm an outsider, and so it's sort of like the goal with the show is to tell Florida stories, but do it in a way that would be interesting to everybody. Even people who are not living in Florida. And I think that balance is sort of what makes the show work. Unlike these other shows based out of LA that are remote and they, you know, like HBO, obviously it was not an authentic, you can tell it's not authentic based on the trailer, but you know, this is different. We have two Southern guys, you know, it's a different thing. So.
Yeah. I mean, so there's another show right now that is a, fictionalized, it's based on a certain Florida writer who is a very wonderful writer, but has not helped the image of the typical Floridian, Carl Hyas, and he has the show on whatever streaming services. And there's some things that, as you would call me a Florida nationalist, there are some things as a militant Floridian that bother me, like the idea that they're down in Key West and they have signs up for world famous blue crab. No. That's not a thing. Like that's just not authentic. And I hate to make it sound like no one else knows how to talk about Florida, right? But you do kind of have to be here in the state to really give the flavor of it in a good way. It's you know, one thing to be on the outside looking in from LA or, you know, trying to impose your view of Florida on people, but you have to really be inside the storm to. Maybe storm's a bad word, but you have to kind of be inside it to really portray it authentically and understand people and have a little empathy. I feel like that's what misses from a lot of shows is the empathy for people. And in the place of empathy, we've got this idea that we're oddities.
Yeah.
And I really like that you didn't make it sound like Dave was an oddity. I know there's some things in there that were a little much for a lot of people, but I thought it was, you know, fairly respectful.
Well, so. Kathy, the man alludes to the fact that he's in a relationship with a mannequin. But other than that, he's a very normal, well-adjusted guy. And I do like him a great deal. He's a very nice man and he is an adventurer. And the cool thing about Dave is that you know, we can talk about the Skunk Ape legend specifically, obviously, but he also has a lot of other enterprises and he is very much an entrepreneur. And so I think he views these things as enterprises. He completely believes in them. I'm not saying that, but for example, he's out hunting for Spanish gold in the Keys and doing all these different things that are not related to the Skunk Ape, but make total sense if you meet this person. And a very nice man, very generous guy. He has great relationships with, native populations that live in the Everglades, Seminole communities that live in the Everglades. I think he goes out of his way to really, to not be an extractionist kind of guy, to be a Gladesman in the truest sense. So there's a tremendous amount of things to look towards. But one thing that you mentioned earlier that I totally agree with is, I think people want to, I think they like the fact that Florida exists. They like to know that it's there, but they don't want to own it for whatever reason, right? They want to be able to escape to it. They want to be able to know that they can go on vacation down there. But I don't know whether it's self-hatred that they don't live there and they got to go back to, New Jersey or where the hell they got to go back to. And they got to come up with some sort of reason for why Florida isn't great. Otherwise they'd have to justify why they don't live there all the time. So they have to come up with some sort of reason. Well, the people are nuts, or, which is partially true, that we do have a lot of crazy folks down here. Trust me.
Yes.
Who all used to live somewhere else.
But it's a lot of projection. They're projecting onto us why they can't be here all the time, which is fine by me. I wish more of them did that, frankly.
I mean, I think there's definitely a cognitive dissonance, because if we're so bad, if we're so insane down here, if we're so horrible and we don't know how to do anything, why are so many people moving here? Why are we, the fourth largest state or the
third
largest state, fourth largest state growing every day? I mean, I'm with you. I'm totally with you, Rich. Like, look, if you don't like it, you don't have to be here. You can go back home.
I'm really interested to see if things shift, if we continue to have, these horrific hurricane seasons every year, if the demographics of Florida are going to shift. And I believe they have shifted. I do believe, the governor has tried to attract a certain type of people to come to the state. And, a lot of people have left. There's people coming and going all the time. Are only just the hardy people who can survive these hurricane seasons along the coast going to end up, making it, or are people going to give up after a while? It was interesting when I drove down Casey Key, those are all very, very, very expensive homes. And there was most of the damage I saw was to the landscape. The houses looked intact because those people could afford to have newer homes that were hardened, and endured, the wrath of the storms. But it'll be interesting to see if Florida's not for sissies. We're going to have somebody who wrote a book with that title.
Yeah, that's
a
very true story.
Yeah.
I mean,
so we'll see.
I will say, Rick, the hurricanes, we're 38 feet above sea level, which is insane for where I live. We're on a little bit of a ridge. We have a block house. We have hurricane windows. We do what we can, but there are some people who are talking about retreat. There are people who are talking about moving out of the state. Where my mind is turning, the first time in my life, I've actually had the thought, do we need to own chickens? Like, that sounds really weird. I don't want chickens. They're disgusting. I don't want to eat them, but I like their eggs. And what I've started to think about is, okay, how much I have enough space? Do I need to start growing some food in case we're, cut off? I mean, it was a little weird there for a few days after the second hurricane, where parts of the infrastructure started to fail that I didn't expect to fail where I live. And so instead of me thinking about retreat, I'm like, all right, well, do we need to move the boat off a lift because there's no power? Do we need to keep the boat? Do we need to have chickens? Do we need to, plant more vegetables? What do we need to do? And that is a very prepper state of mind that I did not expect to find myself in at this particular juncture in my life. But I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. This is a great state. And it can be hard sometimes, but I'll take it over a blizzard. I'll take it over a mudslide. I'll take it over an earthquake. I'll take it over tornadoes. I will take it over the fact that in the rest of the world, or in the rest of the United States, people are not wearing shorts today. Or if they are, they're wearing shorts because it's 60 and it feels good to them. Sorry, got a little soapboxy there. It's a great state. I think I think this new show, Crazy Florida, is really going to be interesting for people to watch. And you said it's on YouTube right now, but it's going to be elsewhere soon. How does that plan work? When can people put you on Apple TV and find you? How far away are you from that?
Well, that's a separate situation, which we can, if you're really interested in a media situation, the state of the media world, that's kind of the story of this show, to tell you the truth. The show will air in December, on a number of free to air streaming channels. So, there's about 25 of them. They're called fast channels and they'll be airing on those. Most of them you've never heard of, things such as RVTV. For the recreational vehicle community, they will love this show, let me tell you. And then a number of other shows, but they will also air on, it's called The Travel Block, and we have a partnership with a company called The Travel Block, which is pairing us with a few other kind of, we're not really a travel show, but they're putting us in that scenario. That'll air on Cox Cable channels. And so it's a little bit of a kind of a dog's breakfast distribution strategy for how we've had to do this show. But we own the show 100%. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've been able to kind of maintain that sensibility that you like about it. And not to beat up on HBO, but they certainly had a much larger budget than we had, considering that, you know, we paid from it from our own company's profits. And their show is not very good. And that's not me being jealous. I mean, I think objectively, it's not very good. They didn't shoot it in Florida. They interviewed Carl Hiaasen down here, but you know, that's not that hard. And you know, everything else was done in North Carolina. You know, basically on a soundstage. So, you know, you're not going to get those real stories if you do it that way. And so that's the answer to the question. We eventually look forward to it being out on those on a wider release. Probably won't be on HBO Max, considering how much we've been trashing them in this conversation. but maybe some of the other ones would be something we're looking to
do. do you think that they filmed it in North Carolina because Florida doesn't have incentives for production anymore like they used to?
I think that's definitely a big part of it for sure. Yes, and it's not. Yeah, there's no question. And the production company that did that is owned by Danny McBride, who is based in North Carolina. So they did it for that reason. And, you know, again, love the fact that they're doing Florida stories, love Danny McBride, love his sensibility. But, you know, basically that take on it is nothing particularly unique. It's what you've always seen, which is, you know, the same thing you would see on Instagram of like, you know, it's basically like an elevated bum fight on network television. I mean, that's all it basically is. And, you know, I mean, if you're into that, you're into that. You know, I will tell you this, that Chris and I got this idea for the show because I had been on a few other shows as a journalism guy. And what I realized was, and I told Chris about it, I was like, I'm being interviewed by like these European production companies on these true crime shows, and they're all Florida-based cases. And they're having me opine about murder, like these are the most awful things that have ever happened in Florida. And they're showing them in Europe. And the European audiences cannot get enough of nutty things happening in Florida. So we knew that there was an audience because we were doing I was being interviewed on these shows. I mean, I knew it was happening. So we kind of wanted to do a take on it. Like, what if we call it Crazy Florida, right? But then it's kind of not that. It is that, but it's a little bit more heartfelt. So we're glad you guys enjoyed it. And Kathy, you were such a great counterbalance in that first episode. You did a wonderful job, and we appreciate you. We came to your home in Gulfport, I believe, and had a wonderful time.
Yes, you did. Gulfport is its own little place, and I had a great time being on the show. I wasn't really sure what to expect. Like sometimes, you know, people say, "I want you on a show called Crazy Florida." There's not one we can show you, but it'll be good. We promise. But I am at my core a rank opportunist for my books, and I figured if there was a chance this was going to be something good, then I wanted to be a part of it, and I was not wrong. I mean, I was really happy. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do next. I think that there are what's the only there's a million stories in the Naked City, something like that. There's a ton of stories out here to tell that are really important. Craig Pittman, who has written countless environmental books, but also wrote a book called Oh Florida, which has a similar format to yours, Oh, comma, Florida, exclamation point. He kind of came in with the stealth way too, because he tells these stories that on their surface are really attention getting. And if you don't dig deeper into them, yes, it looks like you're kind of pawing at Florida and poking at it. But a lot of them speak to some of the things in our history and some things that you wouldn't otherwise know, some things that are a little bit better, like our public records laws. And so, you know, the days of sitting there with a classroom and a blackboard and chalk and pointing your finger and lecturing at people and hoping they learn something of value, that's just not how society retains information anymore. So I think that the more we can engage people with really good storytelling, it's not a bad thing. And I think that's important for your show. I think it's important for anybody who's trying to write about something and present a viewpoint that is not what's accepted by the mainstream. Like, look, you could have very easily gone in and done a low rent show about how stupid Florida is and showed mugshots and read headlines. And, you know, that probably would have done very well too, but it's not.
Wait, Kathy, that would have done well.
I think so.
Hey,
there's
Chris,
a friend out there. No.
Oh man, missed opportunity.
You got nine episodes.
I think we
left.
Do the low rent show.
No, I like what you did. People are going to love what you did. We're going to put a link to your show in the show notes. We're going to put a link to the channel on YouTube. And also, FAST is the free ad-supported TV, right? So these are things like Pluto and Roku TV. We can put a list of some of the more popular ones here so people can look for all the shows there. You know, we get all that stuff.
And our friends on RVTV. Be sure to
I know what RVTV is because I have a trailer. I have a travel trailer. We, in fact, just bought a new one. So I am some, don't poke at the RV community. We're fine. I mean, not all of us. Some of them are pretty weird. But one thing I want to mention, it's so funny. Your TV show, I own a hyperlocal weekly newspaper, and we publish a lot. All of our content goes online, and we have a checker that we put things through that tells us the readability level of everything, and just a bunch of tools. But it also has a new inclusivity tool. And if you use the word crazy, it actually flags the article and says, be careful. This, if you're talking about somebody who's mentally ill, this is not the word we use anymore. So you are not talking about mentally ill Florida. You are talking about unusual Florida, I think. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to learn something. You know, you're going to have fun. You're going to learn something. And some of the future episodes, you know, it's a docuseries. It's not a reality show. You know,
that's an important distinction. Yes.
Yeah. These are little mini documentaries, and you learn something about culture and people. And it might be weird, but you know, it's authentic, and there's a humanity to it.
I agree. I'm looking forward to your Conk Republic, episode very much. And I hope that when you do that, you will mention the Admiral and First Sea Lord of the Conk Republic's Navy, who is a woman down in the Keys. So if you need more information, I can certainly share that with you, but everybody
Kathy's
down
back,
here
Kathy's
knows her
back
name.
On another episode. Look at that, everybody.
She does a whole podcast just about Keys. So
yeah, there I do. We have the Florida Keys Spectacular podcast with Brad Bertelli. That's premium content for our listeners. And if you can time that, we would be happy to have you back on that.
Well, we're looking forward to. We haven't shot this part yet. We're looking forward to doing a reenactment of the. Of the battle of the stale bread and all of that, that was a part of the battle. So we'll need some reenactors who maybe took part in the original conflict, some veterans of the war. We would love to speak to some of those people. I know that they need to be careful. It's like the IRA. They can't come out of the shadows, but if they're willing to do it.
I think you could probably find some soldiers that are in deep cover down there who, you know, if you could protect their face, maybe change their name or their voice with some technology, they'd probably be willing to talk to you. So the woman I'm talking about is dead. So we can talk about her all you want.
Well, we'll need Dave for that. And but we can still talk to her. I'm not worried about
that. That's good. That's good. It's going to be a great run. I hope there are more than 10 episodes in your future. And I certainly look forward to having you both back on the podcast. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Okay. I don't. I mean, okay. Just stay tuned.
Definitely. And we're going to put in the show notes all the links to all the things that we can find. So you can just go on over to wherever you get your podcast, go to the show notes, and you can click the first link will be to that first episode on YouTube. It is, I might be biased, delightful, well-researched, well-spoken, certainly has some great talent on screen. So
Kathy, I really appreciate it. Just wanted to take, you know, maybe the next 20 minutes or so and just really delve deep more into the genitals of other Florida cryptids. So let's just get into that, if you don't mind.
Have you heard of Mossman? There's a Mossman thing they have in Keystone Heights. Not Keystone Heights. What's that? Goldhead Branch State Park. There's supposedly a Mossman.
Have not heard of Mossman, no.
Maybe you should look into Mossman's private parts.
Okay, well.
I am more specifically interested in how mermaids reproduce, very honestly.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
I've always wondered that. Is there like an egg depository? Is there an upper flermen? How does it happen? We really need to know if you're going to go into these things. And I want to point out, if you do want to go into cryptid genitalia, you could maybe get, not on HBO, but is Cinemax still around? Because that used to be really lit Friday nights around 1 o'clock.
That's so true.
It's so funny. The fine folks at RVTV actually have bought out most of the Cinemax library. And so you can see it there right after Crazy Florida at 3:30 a.m. on RVTV.
Right. I definitely don't know if you're joking or not, but I'm definitely going to find out.
You'll have to watch. I guess that's the point.
Yes. Well, hey, I don't know what other cryptid genitalia we could go into. I mean,
but Kathy, can I just say one thing? And you
say
and,
whatever you want, because you're really a lot of fun.
And I think you did such a great job driving this home in our conversation. Because we were literally at your home, so it was easy for you to drive it home. The point is that if more people were doing skunk ape hunts in a very positive way, we would probably be better off, because they are channeling their energy in a very constructive way that's not hurting anybody, right? These people are out there, and you know they could be doing far worse things, and they're out there and they're in the environment, they're in the woods, they're in the Everglades, they're in tune with the state of Florida, the natural beauty of our state. And one other thing that I think is really missing nowadays is a belief in something bigger than ourselves. So these people believe in this, and that is really, I think, amazing, because, and it's one of the reasons why so many people are drawn to paranormal stuff at all. It's because, boy, wouldn't it be great if these things really were real? Because if they were, then that would mean a lot of other things we wish were real could also be real. You know, so, you know, isn't that just an amazing thought? And that was my takeaway of spending time with these folks. Yes, it's a little nutty. Yes, you know, all the rest of those things. But at the same time, these people are actually really, really positive, friendly, you know, forward thinking people. And they're channeling their energies in my view, a positive way.
And it's a compelling argument, too. I mean, and Kathy, you made this argument in your interview where there are species that we didn't know about for years. Okay. And this skunk ape, you know, it's obviously related to some kind of a primate. I mean, there's so many things that we don't know. And so it's the unknown that not only is interesting, but it's a compelling argument that why could you close the book on something when there's so much mystery still out there?
Well, I will say, I hope that we never find I don't know what the collective noun is for skunk apes. I hope we never find a group of skunk apes, because historically that has not worked out well for mm-hmm. creatures when we find them. But I mean, real quick, the Komodo dragon, the platypus, the okapi, the giant squid, these are things that were cryptids. Kangaroos were once cryptids. These are all things that at one time people said, hey, I saw this thing, And people looked at them and went, man, are you high? That's not a thing. You're crazy. You're nuts. And then, oh my God, look, the platypus is real. It's fucked up, but it's real. I mean, it's definitely, I find the possibility of a skunk ape far more believable than a mammal that legs eggs and has poisonous claws and a duck bill.
Yeah. I think you're coming down really hard on the platypus. I think,
look, they're cute. I mean, they're platypups. I think they're wonderful. But if you look at what had to happen in nature for that to evolve, and we're willing to accept that. I've never seen a platypus in real life. I've seen pictures. We're willing to accept that this platypus is not a hoax. But this thing that is slightly larger than a human and looks like every other primate in the world, it's just a little more human. I don't know. I don't see where it's so hard for people to believe that.
And you bring that up in our show as well, which was really an important element. But is it any, and like, and to your point, is it any more or less believable any modern religion, for example? There's more evidence of a lot of things. Now, I'm a person of faith, but that's what it is. It's faith. You know, it's not based on science. So my point, and I think your point, is these folks that are going out there, you know, they believe in this. They have faith in something bigger than themselves. And I think I think one of the biggest things, and one thing that Chris and I think in a lot of the stuff we do have discovered and are trying to tell stories about, there's a tremendous amount of nihilism in the world today, and especially amongst younger generations. And I think technology has led to a lot of nihilism, a lot of disconnection, a lot of loneliness. And so I think we see ourselves in the skunk ape's position, right? We could easily project ourselves into that. And that's a very attractive thing. It's like, boy, wouldn't it be great to just, you know, be out in the Everglades and kind of be an apex predator and be able to do whatever you want. You can disappear. Like, you have like some supernatural abilities, you know, if like somebody gets too close to you, you can literally just disappear, you know, because we would talk to people and everybody would have a different explanation of what the skunk ape was. And it was always very convenient of why we couldn't find them. It's like, oh, well, they can, you know, they can also evaporate, you know, or they can, you know, go down into alligator holes and hide. Right. It doesn't really matter. The point is that they're beyond our ability as human beings to find them. And, you know, there's so many things like that in our lives that we can't control. And the skunk ape is something that maybe we can get our hands around.
Oh, that turn of phrase is very uncomfortable. I'm seriously in fear of finding the skunk ape. We do not want to get our hands around a skunk ape.
I do. I want to have him as a. I want to domesticate him. I want to use him in a. I'm not interested in Tesla robots. Let me be clear about why we did this, Kathy. We're out there for purely economic purposes. We are there to make a buck, and we are there to enslave the skunk ape and help them find their freedom by enriching us.
I think we need a new Florida roadside attraction full of skunk apes, and maybe we can train them to interact with macaws, and maybe we could get a porpoise involved somehow. It could be huge.
Like Jurassic Park, but with skunk apes.
Exactly. Good guys. Nothing wrong could go. There's nothing bad that could come from that.
I did not have hate mail from PETA on my Florida Spectacular bingo card today, yet here we are.
But you do say that you hope we never find them. And I think that's a very profound statement. And that was probably was without a doubt the most profound thing in our show. It wasn't a very high bar, but you absolutely with that sentiment.
Kind of a backwards compliment, but okay. I mean, we're the people in our house. We had a mouse in the house the other day, and we're the people who, instead of calling over the hound dogs or the cats, we very peacefully shooed the mouse outside. So I can't imagine thinking the skunk ape would be something we'd feel good about seeing in a sideshow. Like, I'm a person who I've never ridden a horse, will not ride a horse because I think it's cruel. So, which is a very extreme viewpoint. Horse equestrians all over the state are going to send hate mail now. It's bad. Let's just change the subject.
One thing we did not really go through in the episode with the skunk ape, which I think would be another great angle for somebody to take, probably a native storyteller would be kind of the idea that the skunk ape is basically a metaphor for the Seminole tribes and Lost tribes or Tequesta tribes or whoever was here before in the Everglades. And I think there is a very compelling argument that we found. We just probably weren't the right storytellers to tell that story at that moment. That is also a very compelling, you know, argument that it's sort of the spirit of Florida. You know, there's all these different legends, and there's also a lot of native legends about the skunk ape. So this is not just a white European thing. This is a, you know, this is sort of a universal phenomenon, you know, that is very, 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 very interesting.
Well, as I said, I'm sure on the show, and I say it anytime somebody asks me, every culture on the planet, no matter how much interaction they've had with other cultures, has three things in common: legends of a mermaid, legends of ghosts, and legends of some type of Bigfoot, Yeti, skunk ape, Sasquatch. There's a common, now those are the three things we all share in common as humans. So, you know, if I wanted to avoid humans, I'd be in the Everglades. Like you said, it's nihilism. All right. I like it when we get philosophical here. That was nice. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show. Rick, do you feel better about Florida after this show?
I just want to say this episode has been brought to you by RVTV, and we expect to have our check in the mailbox by next month, hopefully.
It's be fine. We've had corporate sponsors before. We had Organic Rum, RVTV. He's joking. It wasn't sponsored by RVTV, but if you're out there, RVTV,
yeah,
call us.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't sponsored by RVTV, Kathy. They don't have any money. But if they had some money, they'd give it to you. No question about it.
That's really nice. That's really nice to know. All right, guys. Thanks for being on Florida Spectacular. You heard it here, maybe not first, but early on, Crazy Florida on YouTube. Sorry, Crazy Florida on YouTube. Go watch it. It's fun. They have 9 more episodes coming, and there are worse ways to spend your time. Trust me. See you next time on Florida Spectacular. Bye.